We're going to get into an interesting discussion tonight. We've been talking about the prerequisites for prayer, and we said, first of all, you have to obey the scriptures, then you have to examine your motive. Why am I praying this? Examine relationships with other people. Examine if there's any sin in your life that could block the prayer life. Examine any Phariseeism. Am I praying this just for show, or am I really trying to move God with this? Examine your marriage. If you're trying to function right as husband and wife, you can expect to move God. And then, of course, last time we said the seventh prerequisite is you must be willing to examine your faith. And we're going to talk a bit about that faith tonight. So before we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we certainly realize that it is our responsibility to prepare for any battle, a spiritual study. But we also acknowledge that victory is truly of Thee in any context. So we pray that You would give victory tonight to this time and to the people here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 17, if you would, because there's a real interesting principle about faith that certainly is revealed to us in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, and particularly if we look in at verse 20, what we read is, "And He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you." The principle that I want you to see here is that when it comes to the subject of prayer, the critical issue pertaining to our faith is not quantity, it's quality. In other words, Christ was not interested in massive displays of faith. He said, all you need is a little bit of the right kind of faith. And if you have a little bit of the right kind of faith, then you can certainly be in a position to move the Lord in prayer and accomplish powerful things. So the size of a person's faith isn't the criteria for moving God in prayer. It's the kind of faith that becomes the criteria for moving God in prayer. Now, when it comes to developing the right kind or quality of faith, there are four biblical observations that I think we need to understand and think through when it comes to this right type of faith. First of all, praying with the right type of faith is not determined by our circumstances. Praying with the right type of faith is not determined by our circumstances. I want you to go over to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, because this is really one interesting story. And it has to do with prayer, and it has to do with Elijah's prayer. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah is going to pray for rain. We would learn from James that actually he would pray rain both into and out of the area, because he said he prayed that it wouldn't rain, it didn't. He prayed that rain would come and it did. But here's the episode, beginning at verse 41 of 1 Kings chapter 18. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." He said, "Go back seven times." And it came about at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go up. Say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you." So it came about in a little while that the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Now, Elijah prayed for rain. And when he prayed for rain, there was absolutely nothing in the circumstances that appeared it was going to rain. In fact, when you look carefully at verse 43, it says that his servant went up there, and what did you see? He said, "I saw nothing." So there's nothing in these circumstances that would say, "Oh boy, things are clouding up, so it might be a good time for me to pray for rain." The circumstances weren't indicating that at all. Two things I want to point out to you from the context of 1 Kings 18 that oftentimes are overlooked, and they come from the first couple of verses of the 18th chapter. First of all, in verse 1, "Now it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.'" So first of all, the thing that I want you to understand, and this is the principle, before Elijah prayed, this prayer was based on the Word of God. He didn't necessarily know when or where this was going to take place, but this prayer was based on the Word of God. So he's not just praying something crazy. The second thing I want you to see from verse 2, so Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Remember, God said, go show yourself to Ahab. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. So what you have here is you have a man who's praying in light of Scripture, and you have a man who's also praying in obedience to the Word of God. Now, when you get a guy praying that, when you get someone who's praying in tune with the Word of God and praying, backing it up with an obedient life, you have the potential for power in prayer. But this text implies that this prayer initially started, there was nothing there in the circumstances to indicate it was going to rain. In fact, six times this guy went up there and circumstances would suggest it isn't going to rain. But the seventh time, they look out there and they see that little cloud that's forming out over the water and the rain came. Now, had Elijah based his prayer on circumstances that he could have seen, he would have stopped praying. I mean, if he'd have prayed, God send rain, go up there and look. You see anything? Nope, nothing. Clear as can be. No clouds, nothing. Six times, that's what he saw. But he kept at it. He kept praying. And he didn't necessarily know this is the place where all this stuff's going to go down. Actually, he could have said, well, maybe this isn't the time that God's going to send the rain. I know he's going to send the rain, but apparently this isn't going to be the moment when he's going to do this. But because he believed God, because he was obedient to the Word of God, he would pray and God would answer his prayer. Now pick up on James' commentary about this just a moment. Go over to James chapter 5. We read in James 5:17, and here's his commentary on this. He says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was not a man who was a sinlessly perfect man. He was a man with a nature like we have, yet he was a man, obviously, who was in tune with the Word of God. He was willing to line up his life with the Scriptures and do what God's Word told him to do. And he kept praying, and ultimately he saw answers to his prayer. The truth is, often when our circumstances are the worst, even if you have just a little believing faith that's praying, you're at the highest and strongest level. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. And when circumstances don't necessarily look to be in your favor, that's one of the great times to go to the Lord in prayer. When circumstances have reached a level in which the believer, all he can do is simply turn to the Lord and rely on Him in prayer, your prayer becomes a powerful potential for moving the heart of God. Because the prayer is aimed precisely at the one who's capable of changing the circumstances. God delights in moving when it is almost impossible situation, and it enables Him in those moments to display His glory and power for His people. J. Oswald Sanders says, faith does not require external confirmation, but believes in spite of appearances. And perhaps one of the best times to pray for something is when circumstances appear to be totally against the logic of the prayer. That is precisely when just a little faith can move God and can cause great answers to prayer. So praying with the right type of faith has nothing to do with circumstances. Secondly, praying with the right type of faith is not determined or requiring or asking God for some sign. Praying with the right type of faith is not determined by requiring or asking God for some sign. Now, there are believers very confused on this point, and they're always asking God for signs. And they're making a crazy mistake, and I'll explain why in just a moment. The Bible makes it clear that a lack of faith that asks God for signs is not a faith that pleases God. We can get that from Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is faith, no sign. No sign, just has the assurance we're praying, God's hearing the prayer. We don't necessarily see, we're not asking to see anything. We're praying and asking God to do something. And then if you go down to verse 6, and without faith it's impossible to please God. What kind of faith? Faith that simply has the conviction to pray to God and believe God when you don't even see. In fact, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, He equated people who always wanted to see signs, He equated them as them being a wicked thing. Go over to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11. In verse 29, Christ equates asking for signs to see things a lot of times as being a wicked thing. In Luke 11:29, and as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah," which of course would be he would come back out of the grave 3 days later. So obviously, it isn't pleasing the heart of God to have a bunch of people asking Him for signs about things they're praying about, looking for signs and asking Him for signs. In fact, Christ made it very clear. And I like this text. It's an interesting text. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse 29. This is a real interesting context. In John, chapter 20, and verse 29, Jesus said to him, that is Thomas, "Because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." Christ made it perfectly clear that believing faith is much more blessed than a seeing faith. And keep this in your mind in the context. Thomas is not heralded as being a great man of faith because he demanded a sign. In fact, Christ said, "The people that didn't even see me, but they believed in me, and they didn't demand this sign, but they just recognized the truth of it. Those are the ones who are truly blessed." Now, you get believers who get all fuzzy on this thing, and they put out a bunch of fleeces. In fact, it's called fleecing God. And the whole idea is, we're going to ask God for some fleece to really show us something, to really see a sign, which I think is evil. I think it's evil to do. But it comes from a text in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 6, so I want us to go there. And that's where it comes from, a story from the life of Gideon, in Judges chapter 6. But usually there's something that's overlooked in that text of Judges chapter 6. Now God, in amazing grace, granted the request of Gideon, even though it was a stupid one, just like He's done things for us and when we've been stupid. But Gideon knew he was playing on treacherous ground by doing this kind of thing, asking God for signs. And I'll show you how he knew it. If you go to Judges chapter 6, I want to begin reading at verse 36. "Then Gideon said to God, 'If thou wilt deliver Israel through me as thou hast spoken.'" Now that's all you need right there. God said, "I'm going to do it." Done deal. God's going to do it. Believe it. Let's go get this done. Well, he says, "If you're going to do this as you've spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me as thou hast spoken." This is almost humorous. I mean, you've already told us you're going to do this, but I got to have this fleece. I got to have this sign. So then verse 38, "And it was so, he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece. He drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not let thine anger burn against me, that I may do this one more time.'" That's basically what he does. "Now what I'm going to ask you to do is let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on the ground." And God did it. Gideon knew this is the kind of thing that doesn't please God. You start asking him for a bunch of signs, you're not in a frame of mind that really pleases the Lord. In fact, this is the kind of thing that can make him angry. He's not pleased with people who need to be a bunch of sign-seeking people when he already says in his word, "This is what I'm going to do." He wants us to believe his word and not go after a bunch of signs. So this fleece business is bad news. We don't need to see signs. What we need to do is believe God. And sign seeking is foolish faith. It's not a strong faith. It convolutes everything. And I'll give you an illustration. When we were in Kalamazoo wanting to go to school, all right, what I needed to go to school in Grand Rapids was a job. So what we would do is we would pray that God would give us a job. So I'd go to Grand Rapids, get the Grand Rapids Press, go through there, and go apply for every job possible that I could possibly do. I mean, I filled out so many applications, my finger hurt. I can still feel my finger when I did this back in the 70s. But I needed a job. I would ask God every time I turned in a resume, "If this is the place you want me to work, give me this job. If it's not, lead me to the one you want me to have." And I'd fill it out. I'd pray before I turned it in. I'd pray after I turned it in, and just did this day after day after day. Now, let's suppose I'd have been sitting here and say to God, "God, I need to see some sign that you want me to go to Grand Rapids, some sign. I don't need the sign. What I need is a job." So I'm praying for the job. I'm going applying for the job. If God gives me the job of His choosing, There's the sign. I mean, that's the answer to the prayer. Why do I want to mess this whole process up by saying, oh, by the way, along the way, let's have a sign. I don't need the sign. I need a job. It's true, like when it comes to anything that you would think about, anything that you would want to pray about. For example, we, by the grace of God, Lord willing, down the road, intend to build a new sanctuary. What do we need to do it? We don't want to borrow money. We need the money to do it. Well, God, show us a sign that you want us to do it. We don't need a sign. We need the money. So what we're going to pray for is that God will supply the money, and then when He supplies the money, we'll build the sanctuary. See, this business of putting out fleeces just gets way out of track. So you leave God saying, well, what do you want me to answer? You want me to give you a sign, or you want the job? I mean, you want the building, or what do you want? I mean, it's just craziness. And that is why putting out a fleece is convoluted when it comes to faith. It's not a faith that pleases God. Faith that will see God do powerful things through prayer is a faith that is not sign-oriented. And if you're sign-oriented, you aren't going to see a lot of things powerfully done. It does not require a sign. It does not demand a sign. It doesn't demand proof of anything. Faith that pleases God prays about things, moves forward, believes God, lines up with Scripture, doesn't do crazy things, but lines up with the Word of God, and then by faith moves out and sees the power of God accomplish the task. God wants us stable in our faith. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of fickle people who are running around constantly asking Him for a bunch of signs. You're getting off track if you're asking Him for signs. You're not praying on the real issue because you're looking for the sign thing. So when you're going to ask God for something, you don't need the sign. You need what you need to ask Him for. And that's the whole point. So let's say that you have to make a decision. And there's some matter that you carefully follow biblical principles the best you know how. You have, for example, you've prayed, you've asked God to give you wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom to make this decision. I've got to decide. Give me wisdom. I'm asking you. I don't have it. I need it. I need you to impart it to me. God says, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. Then you have sought out counsel from those who are wise and skilled in the things of God. You've gone and you've sought out those that understand the Word of God. They understand the deep things of God. Here's my decision I need to make. What do you think about this? Are there any biblical principles that come into play in making this decision? Then you seek out prayer support. Prayer support from people that you might have God's discerning wisdom. Paul prayed for the Philippians. I pray that you might be able to choose the best from the good. Now, what's he doing there? He's saying, I'm praying that you'd have a discerning mind to be able to really discern what God would have you do in a choice when there's not necessarily a bad choice, but that you would make the best choice from the good choice. So you need people praying that you'll have that kind of wisdom in the decision. And then you carefully and prayerfully think through all relevant scriptures in regard to that. You take all of those steps, and that's all you need to do. And I personally believe, if you follow through all of those steps and you're meeting those prerequisites, God is going to lead you. You don't need to be asking for signs. You can wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. And you know, sometimes, and I believe this too, sometimes it comes down to this. It's time to step out by faith. If I'm going to please God, I have put this before God. I've asked God to open the door. I've asked God to create this situation for me. It's time for me to take a step of faith here. That's not stupid faith. That's sound faith that's based on the Word of God. Without faith, you can't please God. So there does come a point in time where you have to say, you know what? If I'm going to see this new dimension develop, I need to launch out in a faith that pleases the Lord, and I can believe because I have done this right before God based on every biblical thing I know that God's going to protect me, God's going to guide me, God's going to lead me all the way through this. And that's what needs to be done at times. But we don't need to see a bunch of signs. When one is obedient to the Word and will of God and is praying concerning the will of God, I think it is pleasing to the Lord when someone by faith steps out for the glory of God and gets something done. Signs do not please God ever. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you don't want to be one that's throwing out a bunch of fleeces. Get to the heart of the issue. That's what you want to be praying about, the real issue. You don't need to see signs. Go for the juggler of what it is that you're after and then wait on God and see what He's going to do. So we don't necessarily have a right type of faith to pray in. It's not a faith that always seeks signs, always looking for signs, because that's not a faith that pleases God. Now, the third biblical observation is praying with the right type of faith is not determined nor based on our feelings. Praying with the right type of faith is not determined by or based on our feelings. The biblical truth is a true faith that pleases God often trusts God in spite of a contradiction of our feelings. And one of the greatest biblical examples of that, of course, was Daniel. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 6. And notice verse 10. Daniel knew the document was signed. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had his windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king answered and said, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel, and even until sunset he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. Now, had Daniel gone by his feelings, when it came to this matter of prayer, he would have been afraid of the lion's den. He would have stopped praying like everybody else pretty much did. But Daniel's faith was not based on his feelings. It was rooted in biblical realities and facts about God. It wasn't determined by how he felt, and it wasn't determined by how other people felt. It was determined by what he knew about God. And I think probably the greatest example of a principle of a life of prayer that goes against the feelings comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he specifically prayed in accordance with God's word and will in spite of how he emotionally felt. In fact, he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. I mean, he was struggling. Any person would tend to shy away from an assignment that featured you're going to be abandoned by God in just a few hours. You're going to be mocked and persecuted and executed. And no one in his right mind would ever feel like experiencing that and even praying about that. But Jesus Christ knew that the whole will of God and program of God was at stake here, and he prayed for it. Now, had he followed the normal path of human emotions, my goodness, he could have called legions of angels. He could have been gone in a moment, right out of here. Or he could have removed himself from that terrible cup of suffering. He could have asked the Father to remove him from this terrible cup of suffering. But he did not go by his feelings. He went by the Word of God. So the right type of faith is a faith that is not waiting on some feeling. It's not looking for some feeling. It's a faith that just believes God and prays and trust that God is going to listen to the prayer. And praying in faith will often contradict your feelings. But that's when you want to pray in faith, believing in God. Now, our time is gone tonight. Do you have any